For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Power Punch.
Get charged up on the truth. Now, Power Punch with Larry Behrens on News Talk STL.
You've done it again. You didn't mean to, but I'm glad you did. You've stumbled upon Power Punch, the show where we talk all things energy and beyond. My name's Larry Behrens. I'm communications director for an organization called Power the Future. Check us out, powerthefuture.com. We're having lots of fun highlighting what Joe Biden is doing wrong. And let me tell you, when it comes to true renewable power, Joe Biden messing up may be the world's largest source. It is never ending, right? Short stares Biden, Robert L. Peters, so many names that we can give to him. But one of the things you've never been able to give to Joe Biden is the title of border czar. And yet, I know you're doubtful. Walk with me here. Take my hand. Walk with me here. Joe Biden may have discovered the border. Yes, it's like I'm bringing you a unicorn, is it not? You're like, what? Joe Biden doesn't know where the border is unless the border's to the beach. No, Joe Biden has found the border. That's the good news. The bad news is it's not the border we want him to find. You know, it's no secret that this administration's border policy has been an absolute disaster. And I'm just going to kind of give you a little insight into my history here, because I was one of those times a humble little correspondent along the United States-Mexico border. I may or may not, depending on whether or not the NSA is listening, I may or may not have illegally immigrated into Mexico once or twice in the name of journalism, mind you. Yeah, that doesn't help me anymore. But there are some insights on the border that I think are still relevant today. But let's get to something that is a little more timely, and that is the Biden administration is considering forcing some migrant families who enter the country without authorization, illegal immigration, that's what we call it, boys and girls, to remain near the border in Texas while awaiting for asylum screening. We all know what this is about, right? So the good news is Joe Biden has discovered there's a border. The bad news is he thinks the border is now only outside D states, because that's who he's trying to protect. Those Democrat blue states who are finally learning what it is like to have to deal with a influx of humanity that is in some ways lawlessness, right? And this is something that these border states have been dealing with for years. And you have to ask yourself, you really don't, but we're gonna go this exercise anyway. You have to ask yourself, why just Texas? Just kidding. We all know why. And make no mistake, the Biden administration will tell you, and other states too. But let's look at the four United States that border Mexico. New Mexico is one of them. Arizona is one of them. California is one of them. Texas is one of them. One of these, not like the other. That's right. Texas has been standing up to the Biden administration on border security, and they've been busing migrants to places like New York City. And we all saw this week, New York City can't handle it. And it is there a stronger word than insane? I mean, I almost feel like we need to change the name Biden to a word that describes something beyond insane. It's like a 10.0 on the Richter scale of insane. It's a category 5. On the scale of insane with Biden, because these states, particularly Texas, have been dealing with all the issues that come with Joe Biden's open border ever since he took office. And it is something that just when, you know, Martha's Vineyard gets a little taste, Chicago gets a little taste, New York gets a little taste, they freak out, right? They're like, this is, these kids expect to go to school? And now we go to the history lesson, boys and girls. You know, I was a humble correspondent along the border many moons ago. And some things have changed, but some things have not. You know, the border patrol there is made up of some incredible men and women. And at the time, they had technologies in place. They had, believe it or not, they had ground sensors. They had heat sensing cameras. They tried to, as you understand, the border is in many places rugged, isolated, and, you know, away from a lot of civilization, hence why it's easy to sneak across. But they had this technology in places that helped, you know, monitor these areas. And when they would apprehend someone, which, by the way, a Border Patrol agent is one of the few law enforcement agencies where one person can be apprehending 50 plus people at a time. They would bring them in. And just for perspective, this was, I don't know, 20 years ago. Not quite 20 years ago. Not that old. And I had the opportunity once to spend the night in Border Patrol jail. Not as a guest, not on the Hunter Biden plan. No, it's like Monopoly, you know, just visiting. And because it was part of the story, we wanted to see it. And I was able to see how those who had been caught coming to the United States illegally were processed and what happened with them. And this was, again, in the George W. Bush administration. And so there was this one gentleman who was brought in. He was 65 years old. And I asked him, why this is illegal. Why are you coming in? He goes, well, to work. And even back then, they didn't fingerprint. They had a biometric finger scan of you. And they'd put you on there. Now, for all intents and purposes, Border Patrol may still be using this. They're probably using something more advanced now, like faces or stuff like that. But they would put his finger, not on ink, but on a computer scanner. And then instantly, his digital mugshot of all the other places he'd been apprehended would pop up. And when this gentleman did it, I mean, there was like 16 times. And I looked at, and it was like 5 times within that last week. He had literally been caught 5 times in that week, returned back. It was called catch and release at the time. They took you back to the near border and said, go back to Mexico. And then they just waited and try again. And I asked him, how often are you going to do this? And he says, as many as it takes. When there was no consequence for it, then they're going to keep doing it. And that was true then, and it's absolutely true now. And so now for Joe Biden to say, you can come to the United States, open border, but stay in Texas. And let's be clear, this used to be a bipartisan issue, right? I saw the Democrat governor of New Mexico. He ran for president as a Democrat, declare an emergency at the border because of all the crime and everything that was happening. Declared emergency with the state's border with Mexico. You can't do that now. And now Joe Biden wants us to believe that everything is fine. And he's discovered that there is, in fact, a border. Sadly, for all of us, it stops at New York, because you know that's what this is really about. The administration is only changing policy when the political science demands it. And it is something that we are sick of, that we see all the time. But is the media going to cover it that way? No. The story out of the Los Angeles Times says, oh, yes, there have been plenty of apprehensions. In fact, they're at an all-time high. But they're going to take these asylum seekers, and they're mad that they've been bused to places like Los Angeles, New York, and Washington, D.C. They're mad that they have to put up with the problem. So Joe Biden is working to move the problem. And if that doesn't tell you, I mean, we already knew, right? We already knew that the U.S.-Mexico border was always just a political pawn for Joe Biden. Security was never his concern. We'll send billions to secure the border of Ukraine, but our border, well, that doesn't matter. Unless you're the mayor of a Democrat-run city and you cry uncle, well, Uncle Joe or Robert L. Peters or whatever he's calling himself this week will be there to help. And he'll have fawning coverage in the media, right? We know that it's really just amazing to see the fawning coverage in the media, because they talk about, I mean, even the folks at the Communist News Network this week had to admit that his polling is not where we want it to be. Of course it's not. It's a disaster. It's an absolute disaster. So what are they going to do? They're going to start by saying a whole bunch of new narratives that make it sound like that the problems only exist because Republicans are pointing them out. You may think I'm crazy. You may think I'm insane, but work with me on this. As we stand here today, right, boys and girls, what are you paying for gas? I could tell you in our neck of the woods, we're paying 20 cents more than we were this time last year. That's a pretty big hit. You know, I don't know how big your gas tank is, but let's say 10 gallon, well, you're going to pay more. And we've all seen how that has just, within the last 2+ years, bled into everything. You want to know why we have inflation? It's because Joe Biden hates American energy. It's really that simple. The fuel that is diesel that brings everything to your house, my house, and everywhere else that processes, that helps grow crops, deliver everything. When that price goes up, everything goes up. The mortgage on your house, the interest rate you're paying, is because Joe Biden declared war on American energy, and they know it. and they've seen his poll numbers shrink because of it. And now they're freaking out. And so you're going to see more stories like this. This was from our good friends. Yeah, I know. I can't say the straight face either. Our good friends at Politico. And this is the headlines, right? Now, if this isn't, you know, on the Mount Rushmore of Republican pounce headlines, it should be pretty close. It says the U.S. is pumping oil faster than ever. What does that even mean? U.S. is pumping oil faster than ever. Republicans don't care. What is going on? Let's dive a little bit into this craziness. And don't worry, I won't let us wander the deep end. I'll pull you back out. The GOP presidential candidates are blaming pump prices on President Joe Biden's clean energy policies. Here's the switch. Even though the U.S. is churning out record amounts of oil, that's a lie. We'll talk about it in a little bit, but that's what they're going to do. You can tell where the Biden team feels that he is vulnerable, and they feel they're vulnerable on gas prices because you're going to get stupid thought pieces like this coming out telling you that what you really see is not what you really see. And here's what we have going out there. We have it, of course, it's all Russia. It's 100% Russia. You know, prices were normal before Russia invaded Ukraine. Again, a complete lie because they think we're stupid. But that's where they're going with this. They have to separate the president's responsibility for gas prices from the actual gas prices. Think of the mental gymnastics it has to take to be a Democrat. I mean, well, no, don't think about it because I don't know if there's enough acetaminophen to help, you know, cure that headache. But if you take a look at what they're trying to do, they're trying to say Joe Biden is not responsible for these high gas prices because here's a lie, we're doing more oil. Into the article, the late summer surge in gasoline prices is heightening the risks that inflation poses for President Joe Biden and offering Republicans a new chance to pin the blame on his green agenda. Again, it's Republicans pounce, right? It's not Joe Biden is responsible. It's not the guy who is responsible is worried that he may be responsible. It's how dare you point it out? How dare you? You know, it's one of those things. It's like you walk into the movie theater and some guy cuts in front of you and you point it out. And he's like, why would you point it out? Why are you even picking on me? It's like they blame the people pointing it out, not the guy responsible for it. The GOP narrative has a major hole, however. U.S. oil production, already the highest in the world, is on track to set new record this year and will probably rise even more in 2024. That is a lie. That is a huge lie. And let's see where they get into it, because this is where Politico likes to, you know, build their house on the sand. U.S. oil production is forecast to average an all-time high of 12.8 million barrels a day. Now, did you see the word there? See the little wordplay? U.S. oil production is forecasted. It hasn't yet, but they say here it's pumping oil faster than ever. Let's go take a look. Energy Information Administration. Was it? Oh, that's right. The most oil we ever pumped in a month was, looks like, about November 2019, 13 million barrels per day. Who was? Oh, that's right. The other guy was in charge then. And what was the cost of gas then, ladies and gentlemen? Was it $2.35? Yeah, $2.35 a gallon. They think you're so dumb as to not see it, because it gives you insight, though, into how nervous they are. They are freaking out. And so this Republican, you know, pounce article is really a warning siren from the Biden administration that they are sweating what you already know. Their policies have led to this. And I'll tell you why. First of all, we're not pumping out 13 million barrels a day. You can check their own information. Their information is usually 5-6 months delayed. It's actually declining. We're around 12 plus somewhere. It's actually declining. And Joe Biden just this week took a huge part of Alaska off the list for places that you can develop more oil. So you have Joe Biden who said, we're not going to do any more drilling. You have Joe Biden who said he's going to end fossil fuels. You have Joe Biden who has leased the fewest acres for oil and natural gas production of any president since they started keeping track, i.e. when Harry Truman was president. Fewer than Harry Truman during right after World War II. And they are trying to say he is not responsible for it. And they're going to come out and say, well look what happened. We're producing just as much. Imagine for a moment, take me to a sweet world, where Donald Trump gets his second term, where he was in the Oval Office. Do you think that 13 million barrels in 2019 would have been the cap on what we would have done? Of course not. We know there is a president who has handicapped American oil production. It's capped it at the knees, as a matter of fact. And no matter how often the media wants to say that it is a global issue, that Saudi Arabia matters, no. It is Joe Biden that made OPEC great again, and there's no way for them to get out of it. Hey, we'll be back with a whole lot more after this, including, I got another unicorn for you.
Get more Power Punch at NewstalkSTL.com. Power Punch with Larry Behrens on Newstalk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on NewstalkSTL.com.
Get charged up on the truth. You're listening to Power Punch with Larry Behrens on Newstalk STL.
Welcome back to Power Punch. Larry Behrens here with you, Communications Director for Power of the Future, powerofthefuture.com. Check it out. You're not doing anything. I know you're not. Oh, well, yeah, you're watching football. I understand. But during halftime, powerofthefuture.com, check it out. You can see a lot of great stuff. And I promised you another unicorn, didn't I? No, I didn't. But I'm delivering you one anyway. And you're like, Larry, we got Joe Biden to discover the border. What other gifts do you have? Well, I'll tell you what other gifts. And this one, there's no caveats. All right. It's taken Joe Biden a little bit out of it. There's no caveats. I'll just read you the headline. If you're maybe partaking a liquid beverage right now, you might just want to, I don't know, just completely get it out of your mouth so you don't spit on those around you as I read this to you. Climate scientist. Hold on. I know you. Everyone turns off the radio when they hear the words climate scientist. Work with me. Climate scientist admits to focusing solely on global warming in paper about the United States wildfires, ignoring other key aspects just to get published. A climate scientist telling the truth. What do you want? I mean, this is gold here. This is gold, ladies and gentlemen. A climate scientist has admitted to exaggerating the impact of global warming on California wildfires to get his research published. Patrick T. Brown, that's his real name, not like a, you know, fake name that Joe Biden makes up. Patrick T. Brown claims studies about climate change are rejected by scientific journals if they do not support certain narratives and they favor distorted research, which overstates dangers. Now, walk with me, boys and girls. You're a newly minted PhD from some, you know, university that's not good at football. And you're like, what am I going to do with my life now? I have $600 gazillion dollars in student debt. And Joe Biden is going to, you know, maybe cut me a check from Hunter's Trust Fund to help me out. And but what am I going to do for a living? Hey, why don't you be a professor? Yeah. Professor, because I have doctor in front of my name. I'm not the kind of doctor that actually helps you out. I'm one of those fake doctors. But yeah, doctor, I'll go be a professor. Well, you got to be published, newly minted doctor PhD. What does that mean, published? Well, you see, in the academic world, we have these condescending journals that they're called peer-reviewed. You write things, people with other PhD after their names get to respond to those things, and then we all make money, and it's great. But if you don't get your name in one of those, well, it's kind of hard to be a professor. You'll still be, you know, slinging fries at Panera. Does Panera even serve fries? I don't even know. Probably like avocado fries. I digress. Anyway, you want to be published. That is the mother's milk of academia, is being published. And here you have a climate scientist who says, I don't get published unless I push a narrative. And let's just talk about how this spreads like a terrible pandemic. I'm kidding. Take the mask off. It spreads because then you're going to see some talking head on a morning national TV broadcast say, according to a new study. How often do we hear those words? According to a study, scientists say, climate scientists agree. How often have we heard those phrases? But here we have one, and it's real. If it wasn't real, could I do this? No, it's real. A climate scientist saying, I have to exaggerate the problem or I don't get published. He says his research article focused exclusively on climate change and intentionally ignored other key factors. This is his quote. I knew not to try to quantify key aspects other than climate change in my research because it would dilute the story that prestigious journals like Nature want to tell. They're withholding the truth. And I'm not dropping that on you that you didn't know that. You already knew that, right? You knew that it was a farce and a lie before. But the unicorn is here. Even now, they're admitting it. Explaining why he did this, Dr. Brown, who's a lecturer at Johns Hopkins University, sorry, Dr. Brown, not for long, a lecturer at Johns Hopkins University said, it is critically important for scientists to be published in high-profile journals, and the editors of these journals have made it abundantly clear, both by what they publish and what they reject, that they want climate papers that support certain pre-approved narratives, even when those narratives come at the expense of broader knowledge for society. So we remember the California wildfires, do we not? We remember how that was pushed and pushed and pushed as this is just another effect of climate change. Hey, Maui wildfires, how is that news coverage going? You sit over there in the corner. I'll get to you in a second. You had, you know, pretty boy Gavin Newsom out there in California. Climate change, climate change, climate change. Here is what this scientist researcher found, but he didn't put it in his paper. He said he pointed out research that showed that 80% of wildfires are started by what? By people. They're 80% are started by people, and the other 20 is Gavin Newsom's hair gel. It is insane to assign this narrative to something where it is having absolutely no impact. But yet that's exactly what he did because he says, I don't get published otherwise. So he is admitting that the paper he submitted took that out of consideration. He said he exaggerated, or another word with EX, he overemphasized the role climate change played in these wildfires because he knew he would not get published otherwise. Here's a fun fact. What is that little, here's the other part. When they say peer-reviewed, you know, that means other, you know, smart PhD ivory tower condescending people look at it, right? By the way, how I don't get up in the ivory tower. My key card doesn't work on that elevator, but they're supposed to review it, right? How is this not caught? How is it that all these other brilliant PhD scientists just signed off on this and said, good work, let's publish it. Fantastic. That has to absolutely be right. How does that happen? Peer reviewed or is it peer rubber stamp? We know the answer. You know the answer. Anyway, here's what Nature said after he outed himself as to what he did. He says, oh, and the person's name is Dr. Magdalena Skipper. I swear I'm not making up that name. Dr. Magdalena Skipper. It's not a Robert L. Peters name. I swear I'm not making it up. Claimed when reviewers asked Dr. Brown to include other factors which cause wildfires, he argued against it. She said, we're now carefully considering the implication of his stated actions. They reflect poor research practices. Yeah, that's what it reflects, and are not in line with the standards we set for our journal. You published it. You ran with it. It's supposed to be peer reviewed. Who's checking? It's supposed to be you. And now that we found out that he didn't tell us the things that aren't true, then yeah, we're going to try to cover ourselves and say that, oh, we tried to tell him. Here's how it works, boys and girls. Again, I don't sit in that ivory tower. My invitation must have been lost in the mail or Hunter's laptop or wherever they lose things. But I have submitted things for publication. And whenever an editor wants to change up something, you know what they do? They email you back and they say, hey, do you mind if I change this? Hey, would you think about changing this? Hey, how about spelling your name right, Larry? I'm working on it. They email all kinds of suggestions and changing. Anyone who's written a book, anyone who's written things, they know that's usually the case. And so what is that to say? That's to say that there is a written record of when someone asks you to change it. And so if Dr. Magdalena Skinner insists that people tried to get him to change it, produce the emails. I want to see where your climate scientist told him this isn't going to fly and you need to change it because at the end, they published it. They went with what he said. So no matter how much they want to pretend now with their crocodile tears, oh, we tried to change it. We tried to get him to tell the truth. He proved them for what they are. They are a rubber stamp for an agenda that condescends to the rest of us. Don't ever let them. You know, if you take one thing, if someone says, hey, that Power Punch show, that guy that's crazy, that he probably is hyped up on too much Mountain Dew. What does he always talk about? Tell him this. Say, stand up for yourself in the face of this condescending, I can't say the word. I don't care if they're wearing nice suits. I don't care if they have funny titles. I don't care how many years and how many things have been published. I don't care. If it doesn't jive with the reality that you know to be true, they have no bigger pedestal than you. They do not, you do not have to take them at their word. Do not let them condescend to you. How many times have we heard this? The debate is settled. Well, apparently it's not. At the very least, this proves the debate is not settled. This guy wrote something that he took out key elements of to get it published. And even if you take the magazine's word for it, where they said, we tried to get him to do it right, then that doesn't mean the science is settled, does it? And do we really believe, let's just take a moment. Do we really think that these guys really looked at that and said, oh, climate change caused it, rubber stamp? Or do they really critically question it? We all know the answer. Because they did it with COVID, right? Oh, that study that Dr. Fauci had people who worked under him do. You know what? I didn't order him to do it, but yeah, I was the review. And then that means that, you know, things get kicked off of Facebook, kicked off of Twitter, kicked off because he said that it came naturally as opposed to what really happened. If your gut's telling you the truth, listen to your gut before anyone who condescends to you with a PhD. That's all I'm trying to say. Hey, there's an interesting article here. Speaking of this, you know how we talked last week about how the Associated Press took $8 million in climate money and then they started magically, just coincidentally, you cynics, just coincidentally talking about more climate change, and not just climate change, catastrophic earth ending, oceans boiling, world on fire. Yes, their words, world on fire, climate change. Turns out it was a guy setting the fires in California. Don't let facts get in the way of a good narrative. Well, here's a little thought on how this comes to be. And this is from our buddy Ben Shapiro. And I'm going to warn you, it sounds a little conspiracy theory, but no more conspiracy theory than the fact that COVID came from a lab in China. So work with me on this. He says, it starts here, just grit your teeth for this first little part, okay? There's a group of people who control what you're allowed to see, the news you read, the videos you watch, and the posts you engage with. Work with me on this, okay? He goes, at the top level, you have a network of global elites who have created a universal framework full of guidelines and ratings designed to enforce approved narratives and punish disapproved ones. It does sound like conspiracy theory, but he says we're not guessing. First, you have the World Economic Forum, or WEF. What is going on, Klaus? First of all, I've seen those pictures too, and you're like, how can this knucklehead be in charge of anything more than an albino cat overnight refuge? I mean, this guy, how does he wield so much power across the world? And Ben Shapiro here gets into how. He says, you have the World Economic Forum and you have the World Federation of Advertisers. I didn't know that was a thing. They represent mega corporations that control 90% of global advertising dollars. And they are who's who of global businesses all around the world. And so in 2019, they established the Global Alliance for Responsible Media. So I'm throwing all these names at you for a reason. WEF, World Federation of Advertisers, Global Alliance of Responsible Media, because you need to know it's all the same. They have to put layers in between them, because if you saw that knucklehead who wears a spacesuit, Klaus Schwab, is that his name? I don't even know. Klaus, relax. I'll get your name when, you know, ever you send the hitman after me. Whenever you see this guy in charge of something, you know it's not going to work out. So they put layers and layers of organizations and groups in between them so his fingerprints aren't on it. And they started with saying, you know what? If these ads don't make certain standards, then they take away their percentage, which is 90% of the advertising budget for so many of these huge corporations. So what have they decided to put in their censorship framework? They started with things that can universally be agreed upon, like no graphic violence, no indecency and stuff like that. Those are the specifics. They say, we're just making sure those things don't get into advertising. But then after a while, they start to list subjective terms like hate speech. Well, do they tell you what that is? No, of course not. They decide what is dehumanizing or whatever is being discussed needs to stop being discussed. The framework is deliberately vague, allowing those in control to pick and choose how they enforce it and against whom. Again, who do we know that did this? Well, we have an example. During the height of COVID-19, a company called NewsGuard falsely labeled and downgraded 21 news sites only well after admitting that they were wrong. And what was that error that they downgraded news sites for? Are you ready for it? It was saying that COVID came from a lab. And what did that mean with news sites? Well, I'll tell you right here. It meant that one news site, the Global Times, a Chinese propaganda government outlet, scored 39.5, okay, on their schedule. Keep in mind, 100 is a perfect score. BuzzFeed gets a perfect score. The Chinese Communist Party gets a 39.5. That is 27 points higher than the U.S.-based conservative outlet, The Federalist. It's not about getting you the truth. It's about doing all they can to keep the truth from you. I'm not done with you, Maui Fires. We got more coming up. But next, we're going to talk a little bit about how the truth in the Maui Fires was hidden from you. It was all the green agenda push. That's why you don't see it in the news anymore. And we're going to talk about, you know what? You're going to rent a car. How about that EV? You're not choosing an EV. According to reports, nobody is. Stay tuned. Last segment of Power Punch coming at you.
This is Power Punch with Larry Behrens on News Talk STL. For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on NewsTalkSTL.com. Get charged up on the truth. This is Power Punch with Larry Behrens on News Talk STL.
Welcome back. Last segment of Power Punch, man. It's like, you know, that last piece of really good cake. You're sad that it's gone, but at least it's still there. We'll have this time together. We'll embrace this moment. Hey, if you want to, you know, correspond, hang out, yell at me during the week, feel free to do so. Larry@powerthefuture.com. I'm @LarryBehrens on Twitter. Yeah, I'm going to keep calling it Twitter. Elon, relax. And you can hit me up there. And if I don't like what you say, I can delete really fast. Don't worry. It's very economical. I'll print it out and shred it first so it hurts the earth. Speaking of hurting the earth, you all are hurting the earth, by the way. That's according to this new report out of, I think this is the Wall Street Journal. And it is, it shows how when the, you know, the unicorn fantasies of the eco left just run into that mean bulldog of reality, who wins every time? And it turns out it's reality. This is their words. I don't know how much of that foundation money they got to craft it in a certain way, but we'll just assume that for now it may be on the up and up. They say the electric vehicle revolution is coming to rental car counters, ready or not. But however, plenty of travelers fall into the or not category. Some report picking up EVs that aren't properly charged. They lack accessories or come with little or no operating instructions. That's right. Elon's got to tell you how to drive it. Still, some newbies are swearing off the EVs after one rental and passing them over altogether at the rental lot. So this is what's happening, right? You've seen the commercials. I've seen the commercials. All these rental car companies, and we're going to get to why they're really doing it here in a bit, but they all are offering these EVs. And let's just get into a few of the stories of what happened when folks did it. There was a woman who reserved an intermediate car from a rental company for a one-way drive from Virginia Beach, Virginia to Dulles outside Washington, D.C. She had her 79-year-old mother with her. This was in January, Northern Virginia, January, little chilly. The rental agency didn't have her car or really much else, so they assigned her a specialty car. I won't tell you the car name, but it was an EV, which no one at the counter mentioned. Now, this woman, who happens to be a history professor, says despite getting charged overnight, the battery drained quickly. Why? Fun fact, just like, you know, your phone says, you can't put me in heat or you can't put me in cold or I stop working really well. Now, just take that and add it to your car, this glorified golf cart that Joe Biden wants you to buy. So even though it charged overnight, the battery drained quickly because they had the audacity to use the heater in January. They hate the earth. Anyway, they drove with at least 70 miles to go on the drive. The range flashed 30 miles, so she had to hunt for a charging station so it wouldn't die on I-95 in the cold weather. She's got her 79-year-old grandmother with her. Grandma needs the air conditioner going. Not, I'm just kidding, the heater going. And it is not going to, you know, really work if this thing keeps flashing. You're about to run out of all kinds of power. Now, their first location was a gas station listed in a crowdsourcing app, but it didn't have one. Budget roadside assistants say they couldn't help because they don't have a mobile charging unit, i.e. a diesel generator. And they said by the time they found one at a car dealership, they missed their flight completely. She says, normally I can get from Dulles on one tank of gas. I don't plan random stops in weird places. Isn't it weird how the reality of what they tell you it's going to be? None of this ever, you know, gets put in the commercials, all those sweet looking EV commercials. In fact, I think it was Donald Trump. He said to Tucker, he's like, the best time, the best feeling when you own an EV is the first 10 minutes after you put it in your driveway. That's the happiest you'll ever be with an EV. Because after that, it is going to let you down. And he is right. So this is another guy, Trey Johnson. He's a winery sales director from Chicago. Now, he drives a Nissan Sentra usually, but he booked a Tesla for a one-day February business trip to Louisville, Kentucky, instead of his usual sedan because it was cheaper. They're like, it'd be cheaper. And he wanted to see what all the fuss is about. This is something that you all will experience. He pulled over to watch the video on how to operate it, and he found a Tesla charging station. He said that wasn't a problem. But it took him 20 minutes to charge the car before he returned it. And he goes, there are a lot of Tesla evangelists out there. He goes, once you get used to it, I think it's probably quite fun to drive. I don't want to get used to it. And in that notion right there, in that nugget of truth, is the problem. When you read these articles, they'll tell you the EVs, you just have to learn how to drive them. He's saying, I don't want to get used to that. What I have now is better. Why do I have to get used to an inferior product that costs me a lot more? And he's not wrong. Another guy went, he didn't even rent the EV. He just said when he landed in Chicago, he found several Ford Mustang Mach-Es. Yeah, sure. He passed on all those because he was driving to Cincinnati and didn't want to run out of, juice. And he goes, you could see the people liked the Mustang, but as soon as they saw it was electric, they moved on to something else. So let's get to what this is. It's fun to make fun of EVs, is it not? I mean, the EV with the diesel generator in the back to keep it going. Come on. That's just money every time. And you have to appreciate the learning curve that didn't happen with people who bought one. And I get it. You know what? If you own one and you're in town and every place that you go is within 20 miles of you know, where you live, great. And you have a house, but you're paying more for this car. You're paying more to bring an infrastructure in your house to charge it. And then you're buying a product that you can't use as well. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. And you're paying more for the privilege, but people may be asking themselves, well, why are these rental car companies, if they have to discount the price on the EVs to get people to rent them, and if they are piling up and people aren't using them in their rental agencies, here's why. One CEO told Wall Street analysts in August that corporate demand for the rentals has picked up in the past couple of months since he pitched the fellow CEOs as a, quote, very real way, end quote, to meet new sustainability disclosure rules from the SEC and others. It's an ESG rule. Your rental car company has to give you less choice because the government is mandating that they prove to them how much they love the earth. That is what happens. And that is what did Congress ever pass a law mandating that these rental companies? No. Did the president ever sign a law? No. They start with these little bureaucrats who you've never heard of, never seen, never elected, and they decided, you know what, rental car company, I don't think you love the earth enough. I want you to prove to me how much you love the earth. And they say, okay, we're going to go buy all these EVs, even though our customers don't want them and they don't work great and they're probably going to lose us business. And they have to jump through this communist type hoop to show the government how much they love it. And then that bureaucrat runs to the White House, right? And says, look what I did. Look how much carbon I've taken out of the air. And to which Joe Biden says, did someone else bring some cocaine in here? But then they get to go on the news and say they have helped the earth and they've made a real difference. We all know it's an absolute lie and what they're pushing on us. But kudos to all of us for not really loving the EVs. When you go to the rental station and they ask you, would you like an EV? More and more are saying no. And they're saying no to them on the car lots as well. Well, speaking of people that they should have said no to, I got a couple here. This was, as you know, the U.S. Open is going on, the tennis tournament. I know it's hard because football season, no pun intended, has kicked off. But this was I was actually watching this match, and I was and for, I don't know. So there were protesters that delayed the match, and for the first 10 or so minutes, you can tell the news was really hesitant to say what kind of protesters, because about 5 minutes into a delay, the crowd in New York, mind you, in blue New York, where Joe Biden has finally discovered the border, started chanting to these people, kick them out. Kick them out. The U.S. Open semifinal between two competitors was delayed for 50 minutes because of a disruption by four environmental activists at the stadium on Thursday night. One protester. I'm sorry. I read ahead, but it still makes me laugh. One protester glued his bare feet to the concrete floor. Security guards and later more than half a dozen police officers went over to confront the protesters, who were wearing shirts that said, "End fossil fuels. Your glue is oil." The Tennis Association said three of the protesters were escorted out of the stadium without further incident, but it took longer to remove the person who stuck his feet to the ground. Leave him there. Just leave him there. If there's some glue for his mouth, no, I'm kidding. It's a joke. I'm joking. One of the protesters, who identified himself only as Ian, sorry to all the Ians out there, said they wanted the U.S. Open to be accountable because it has sponsors who are large corporations whose policies are contributing to global warming. It never ends. It never, ever ends. And I, you know, the question is, well, first of all, I paused for a moment. So this match was going on at the same time the Chiefs-Lions game was going on. And all I could think to myself is, Jason Aldean, try that at Arrowhead. Can you imagine Ian gluing his feet to the ground at Arrowhead Stadium? I think that would have been a different reaction than the tennis crowd in New York. And don't get me wrong, love tennis. Love it, love it, love it. Pickleball, another story for another day. But it is really fascinating. I was like, what if he had done that at Arrowhead? What if they had to delay kickoff at Arrowhead because he glued his feet to the floor? I don't think, I mean, he would have prayed for security to get to him first, I think, because the fans probably would have had something to say with it. Well, speaking of fans, there's not enough. And I'll tell you what this is about. Record-breaking, this story. It's not record-breaking. It's summer. It gets hot. Anyway, record-breaking late summer heat is forcing multiple school districts to shut down their buildings early in the academic year. Now, I'm going to give you a heads up. This story is not about what you think it's about. And I'll explain as we get to it. But they did what we call in the news business, burying the lead. Because you only find out six paragraphs into the story what the real problem is. But it led with that. Record-breaking late summer heat forcing multiple school districts to shut down their buildings early in the academic year. 61 million people living under a heat advisory. You're living under it. It is above you. It is over you. It is everywhere. It's a world on fire. You're living under it. It causes mass disruption. Look at these buzzwords, right? Living under heat advisory, mass disruption. Michigan, Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, Ohio, Wisconsin, Iowa, Indiana, Illinois, New Jersey, and look at you, Missouri, have all had K-12 classes disrupted this week over heat. These temperatures are making teaching and learning especially difficult in the majority of our buildings that are not air conditioned. Wait, what? Where was that on the last bond issue? Not air conditioned buildings in the summer for the kids? Yeah. In Ohio, five school districts closed on Tuesday as temperatures rose into the, what do you think, 110s over the hundreds? No, the temperatures were in the 90s. It causes thousands of students to miss class for a day. Remember we used to make fun of the school district that, you know, usually probably in Florida where they got, you know, less than a tenth of an inch of snow and they called school? Well, now it's gone to heat. Temperatures rose into the 90s. Some places they got as high as 91. So here's the real story. And here's the problem that gets buried. And here's where we should end it up today. Some 41% of U.S. schools do not have proper heating, cooling, and ventilation systems, according to a 2020 report from the Government Accountability Offices. 41% don't have air conditioning or heating suitable. Now, I know there is a fight for school choice, and it's the right fight to have, but let's just take a moment to talk about that. While teachers' unions are demanding more money for their bosses, and 41% of our kiddos don't have air conditioning, here's the problem. You have Joe Biden, who just celebrated the one-year anniversary of the Inflation Reduction Act. That's $369 billion heading straight to communist China so that we can get more windmills and sun panels and Tesla drivers can get fatter tax breaks. I don't know how much it would take to equip that 41% with working air conditioners and heaters, but I would bet Joe Biden's salary and Robert Peter's salary too. Not Hunter's, it's way too much. I'd bet their salary that the cost to do that is much less than $369 billion. Why is infrastructure that is truly needed, our roads, our schools, why is that being ignored while we send money that we know is going to go to communist China? And it's having a terrible effect, right? This poor guy didn't know that if he glued his feet, he wouldn't be able to move. It's a problem. The kids need to have air conditioning, and they create this crisis so that they can get, what is it? More money flowing to them. It was record-breaking heat. It was terrible. It was awful. You're living under a heat advisory. I don't know if I'll make it to next week under this terrible heat advisory, but if I do, I'll be glad to join you right here at the same time next week. Thanks so much for coming along with me. Hope you had a lot of fun. Two unicorns just in one day. I'm telling you, I don't know if I could promise that for next week, but we'll give it a try. Thanks so much. Don't forget Larry@powerofthefuture.com if you want to send the electronic mail, or on the Twitters @LarryBarrons if you want to, I don't know, send that weird DM. I'll be sure to forward it to people who really don't care. Thanks so much. I'll join you next week.
Get more Power Punch at NewstalkSTL.com. This is Power Punch with Larry Barrons on Newstalk STL. For podcast articles and more, find us on NewstalkSTL.com.